Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. I'm with Ryan Opez from Catavino. How are you, Ryan?
I'm very good.
Excellent. No, I'm good. We're at the Bibendum tasting at the moment, and I thought I'd corner you because you are one of the big wine bloggy types, or at least you're very noisy on the blogosphere.
Noisy, yes, definitely. Whether I'm big, I'm tall, maybe that's it.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
No, about the same, yeah. Okay.
Not that big. Deep voice.
Yeah, that sounds good. It'll come through. Do you want to tell us quickly a bit about Catavino and what you guys do? Because you've got fingers in all sorts of strange pies.
Yep. No, Catavino was started in 2005 when me and my wife moved to Spain. I thought I was going to find a job in the wine industry. And with a little looking around, I couldn't find anything. And so started a wine blog. There was five or six of them that I knew of on the internet at that time. And I said, well, this looks interesting. So I started writing. And it was about a year into it, I realized, hey, somebody's reading this. And then we started having more people read it, and it kind of spiraled from there. But the premise is wines of Spain and Portugal. We live in Iberia in Spain, and mm-hmm. So we write about Iberian wines. And now we write about the culture, the food, travel, everything that goes with it.
Okay, so you've branched out. How many people read your blog?
We have about 20,000 uniques a month.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Yeah, no, it's not bad for a wine blog. It's, I guess we're ranked on some lists pretty high. I don't know how all these lists are kept, but we have a good readership, mainly US, UK. It's all in English, and we're always looking for new things to talk about.
And do you get revenue from that? Is it a business, or is it?
sort of. This year, we're going to start taking some advertising, so if anybody wants to advertise, let me know. But up until now, it's been a labor of love that basically, it was a promotional side for Catavino Marketing, where we write about social media marketing, those things, and work with clients to hopefully get them either online, using the internet, or this year, actually, I'll be doing quite a bit of speaking and going to do workshops and conferences. And so that's where we make the money. We kind of want both of them to make a little bit more money, but it's a learning process, you know. Blogging is a brand new world, especially in the wine world. You know, in tech, it's pretty well established. But in the wine world, there's still a lot of people who are seeing, what is this? Does it make sense? You know, some people asking silly questions like, is blogging writing?
I saw that yesterday. Yeah, Eat Like a Girl was talking about that.
And, you know, things like that just make me laugh. What a blog is, it's a publishing platform. And when the printing press came out, there were silly things that people did with that. But we didn't sit there and go, well, it's not writing. You know, because we write differently on a blog, that doesn't change that it is writing. It's a new way of communication.
Do you think the content or the context of what you say is different on a blog as opposed to maybe, I don't know, what books? I suppose it must be compared to books in, say, the newspapers.
Yes and no. I mean, once again, it's a publishing content. So there are people who publish like a newspaper. There's people who publish. There's actually books that have been written online on blogs. There's people who just keep it as a journal. And a lot of time people apply that journal mentality of blogging to the whole scope of blogs and say, oh, well, there's people who journal on them, so therefore everybody is just simply writing down random thoughts. Well, no. I mean, Catavino, we're a long-form blog, I call it. Most of our pieces are well over 500 words. They're very researched. We go into detail about specifics. And, you know, we go check our sources, do the research. I don't have a journalist background, but that was common sense for me. If I'm going to do this, I have to do it right. I have to make sure I get the things right. And when I get something wrong, I correct it. I make sure I set the record straight.
Do you just change the blog, or do you publish that you've changed it?
We publish. Everything's open. Tell everybody what we're up to. If you hide anything in the blogging world, you might as well give up and go home. Somebody will find it out.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, a spelling mistake, maybe not. But if I say certain vintage is excellent because somebody said that and it wasn't true, okay, I'm going to make a correction and say why I corrected it. Mm-hmm. And that's important. It's very important. But it bugs me when people say blogging is, because there is no statement to end that. There is no blogging is. Blogging is so many different things.
What about tweeting? Because you're a prolific tweeter. Twitterer?
Yes.
Yes. Between you and Gary Vaynerchuk, you pretty much fill up my tweet deck.
He must not be following many people then. Gary, maybe so. But tweeting is interesting. tweeting, I tell people, my standard line when I give a talk is, you know what, when you start on Twitter, here's what you do. You go register your name, make sure you own it. So I have Ryan Opaz, twitter.com/Ryan Opaz. If you don't know what Twitter is, go register your name. Then play with it for a day, realize it's stupid and you don't like it, and go away for 6 months. You'll be back in 6 months, and you'll thank me because you registered your name and now you understand it. It doesn't make sense right away, and I can't intuitively teach how it works. But what comes out of it's very interesting. When you search terms, or for instance today at Bibendum, this event, there's a hashtag. There's a code that people are entering on every tweet, B times. When you take and you follow that and you look at what's coming out of it, you get some really interesting content around this event, both value for Bibendum and value for the people who are here. So I can follow it and find out where a good wine's being tasted or when lunch is being served, who knows. But afterwards, too, I can go back and say, huh, I didn't meet this person there, but he had some interesting things to say. So that's just one way Twitter works. It can also work as a blog. A lot of people don't have a email subscription anymore. What they actually have is somebody who takes and will do, they will take and use it as their news source. So they follow it for trends. People say, the earthquake was a good example.
Yep.
When the earthquake started happening, boom. All of a sudden you saw what was going on, where it was happening. Information's not always correct.
Balloon boy.
Balloon boy, another example. And there's a lot of those. And some of them are absolutely ridiculous. But nonetheless, if you want to, you can find out information fast. You can communicate an idea fast. And somebody back here was just asking, but I can't follow conversations, he was saying, asking somebody for advice on Twitter. And the thing is, Twitter is a place to start conversations or to find out what's being talked about. But if you walk into a room, I always give this analogy, you walk into a crowded bar and you see all these conversations going on. You don't tell everybody, stop, tell me what you've been talking about, let me catch up. No, you get in, you follow the conversation, they may explain something. It's a very social thing. And when we look at it online, we go, this doesn't make sense. Yet we'll walk into a crowded room and start a conversation. And that's really what Twitter is in many ways. So it's many things to many people. I think it's very useful, though. I think it's very useful.
Who are the people you think, from a wine perspective, people should follow on Twitter?
I hope we give some value. Yep. Catavino and my personal account and my wife's account. But Jan says it was fun to see her get on. She actually asked us a couple questions in the beginning if this was a smart idea, and I said, most definitely. It makes you a real person. And for her, I think it's really been neat. People have connected with her in ways I don't think they ever connected with her before. Mm. And
you so mean Jensis Robinson.
Jensis Robinson, sorry. Other people in the wine world, you know, I find I don't follow as many people specifically for their wine knowledge so much as people who I respect as human beings. So like Len Endeavors, Len Devours, Len Thompson from New York. He writes about New York wines. I never have a chance to buy New York wines, but I follow him. I follow him because I do respect him as a wine writer, but I'm not following him for his New York wine stuff. I'm following him because I consider him a friend who I respect. And so in the wine world, I've gotten to know a lot of really cool people. And the interesting thing is, with wine, you want to drink what your friends drink. You will take and drink a wine, even if it's not 90 points, if your best friend tells you he likes it, because you're willing to taste it. Yeah. That's kind of how Twitter is for me. I don't care if it got a rating or something, but if Len turns to me and says, hey, I found something kind of cool, I'll probably look for it, because I respect him as a person, not as a wine person necessarily.
Yeah.
So I think some of the coolest people, even, who's the person? I'm going to totally forget and feel like a total jerk, but I have a couple of friends without blogs who just like wine. And they'll ask me a question once in a while or post what they got at the grocery store. I find that actually quite interesting.
Yeah.
Find who you're comfortable with. Yeah. You know, do a Twitter search for wine or wine in London and see who's talking about wine in London.
I find it quite interesting because I'm pretty awful with faces. You know, I meet people and then I'll forget their face almost as soon as I blink. You know, it's gone. And awful. And I find things like Twitter quite good because the people I follow, I see their face coming up a lot. And every time I see it, like, I recognize you first time. I haven't seen you for 8 months, nine months. Yeah. And it was like, oh, Brian, I know who Brian is. Excellent.
Well, that's a problem. A lot of people think it's fun to put up a funny picture or whatever on their Twitter account.
Yeah.
Use your real face. I mean, you're branding yourself when you do this. And don't use some silly name. Use your name if you can. If it's a winery, you know, in fact, that's actually an interesting tip. Make sure you have your name, but also your winery's name. Because you're not your winery.
Yeah.
And there's times I want to talk to you and not to Bodega no sé qué. You know, I actually want to talk to the person.
Okay. Let's just touch on the European Bloggers Conference. I only heard about it quite late last year, maybe because I wasn't on Twitter at the time. And as soon as I got on it, I sort of started saying, oh, it was too late for me to head down there and have a look.
Yeah.
But what is it and what are you trying to achieve with it?
Well, it started 2 years ago. Robert McIntosh from Wine Conversation, my wife Gabriella and I said, actually, I wrote a post in, was it 2009, 2008, December of 2007, saying, this is ridiculous, we got to talk. All these bloggers have all these conversations going on. Nobody's really getting anywhere. And I realized the value of being offline to complement the online world. And so I turned to Robert and Gabrielle and said, should we do this? And they said, okay. And then we did something really silly. We announced that we were going to do a conference, not knowing what it takes to put the conference together. And the first one took place in Logroño in Spain, in Rioja. And was this 50 people, a huge success, a lot of fun, and it was really interesting what came out of it. It wasn't what we expected. We didn't know what to expect, to tell you the truth. But it was interesting seeing the crossing of cultures and the conversations that started because of that. We had 13 countries worth of people in that 50 people. So with the big success, we said we'll do it again. So being that we had good connections in Portugal, being Catavino, we decided on doing it in Lisbon. We had 150 people this time. Taking a conference up threefold is a big step, and there were some growing pains. But this time, we saw people taking it a lot more serious and looking at it as something that... I think there was a lot of people who came just being curious. Is this for real?
Yeah.
Is there really a niche like wine blogging that can support a conference like this? It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And this year, I can't say exactly where it's going to be until maybe next week. But we have negotiations with a couple other countries. It will be outside of Iberia. And we're going to probably keep the numbers around 150 again. But this year, I think even more so, we want to really reach out to show people that wine bloggers are not just one thing, like I said. And that... the on-trade, off-trade, all the different sectors in the wine industry really need to figure out a way to deal with this whole concept of social media, the internet. In fact, this year probably is going to be more about wine technology than it will be about wine blogging specifically. I mean, wine blogging is kind of the lifeblood of social media in some ways. And I think the conversation will get a lot broader.
Okay. All right. I think we'll wrap it up there, Ryan. Thanks very much for your time.
Well, thank you.